Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. My special guest today, along with Dr. Sherry Keffer, is Dr. Tom Okamoto. He is a psychiatrist. He is a Christian, and he was on yesterday. Welcome. Thanks for hanging around. Glad you're with us here.
It's a pleasure, and love to be here. It's very cool what you do.
We love having you here. Dr. Sherry Keffer, good to see you.
Great to be here. And I was just telling him when I got to see him today, I've heard about him for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's kind of weird. I was just sitting here between the break going, I'm so glad to be with you, just to get to know you and to hear his wisdom. And I can see, after doing one show together already, why people come to you, because you're both deep and wide. Like, you've got this part that can kind of look at all the factors that are going on, and yet you are not afraid, as a psychiatrist, to delve into deeper parts of the soul as you're even thinking about medication. So, just appreciate you.
And so, here's a question for you. What does a psychiatrist do other than just see patients? Is that what you do?
See a lot of patients. Them? We're all busy these days. Psychiatry has kind of come of age, and so we're very busy. But as I'm getting on in years, and I've done my thing and kind of learned, now we're doing a lot more teaching. We're trying to teach other trainees. We're trying to actually help the general medical Christian doctors and just general doctors to understand about psychiatry and mental health, mental illness, and treatments, because there's such a need for treatment in an appropriate way and competent way. Mm-hmm. So this is a new term called integrative care, where psychiatrists will be leading teams of physicians and nurse practitioners in health care, because psychiatry and mental health is such an integral part of general health care. So the Christian Medical and Dental Association, which I'm a member of, they have a psychiatry branch, and there are actually a lot more Christian psychiatrists than you would think. We have kind of been isolated and on our own, but now we're coming together and banding as a group, because it's now okay to be Christian and psychiatrist in the American Psychiatric Association.
I love that. So, you guys have finally found your way. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's go right to the phones here, and let's talk with Mary from Cape May, New Jersey. WFIL is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
What do you do when neighbors bully? This is going back to 1989 when I moved in the community. I'm wedged between two neighbors. One was there like 45, 50 years, and the other one was a former cop that got fired. Mm. And I was just being bullied. The one who lived there like 50 years, he had a truck, and I didn't realize this. He was doing this for years. It took me a long time to realize what he was doing. But he would take the truck and park it near the dining room or the living room, and he'd get out of the truck and he'd stand there for the longest time. He'd lock it up, and one day he stood there so long, I thought, there's something wrong. I went out. If you looked in his driver's side over to the passenger, he was actually seeing the whole interior of my house clear as day by looking into the truck over to the passenger side.
Well,
that's the one who lived there like 50 years.
That has to be such a miserable. That has to be such a miserable thing when, you know, you feel like your home is invaded and your privacy invaded like that. It's a neighbor you have to live with. So we'll help you with this very practical issue. I think a lot of people end up in these situations. Very hard to deal with a difficult neighbor. And so we'll help you. And then we'll take some other calls about Christian psychiatry and what you can do to get the best care possible. We'll be back after this.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking with Mary and a lot of problems with the neighbor. Mary, is it true that he had you arrested and what for?
The same person, I pulled up and I turned him in about the truck with the device in there. Mm-hmm. And he took it to a shop, and he brought it back, and it was gone. I looked back in there, it was gone when nobody was around. I didn't mm-hmm. think to look at the whole truck. I just looked where I looked before. But he brought a hammer and a chisel and sat on my steps and started chopping them. And I called 911, and I just refused to talk to him. I said, nobody arrested. He's a neighbor. I have to live here. Just get him away from the front of my house, please, right? Mm-hmm. They refused me. 4 days later, they had me arrested for bothering him.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay.
And then
a lot of problems
I went
there.
Before a judge, and the judge said to me, stay away from those people. How can I stay away from someone when that's my front step?
Okay, now you've got a unique problem, and we are very limited in what we can help you with here, but we'll do our best. Sherry, I'm going to start with you.
Just what's your question? Troubled. What's your question first? So
yeah,
we
what
kind
is
of
the
know.
Question for us?
Okay. I just, they never, it's like, I love the Bible. Like, these people never repented of what they did. They know what they did wrong. And they just, like, left it there. And my sister, like, knew people that knew these police. And these police said to these people, if your sister contacts a lawyer or a politician or anything, we will firebomb her house. Now, how do people get away with this in these little towns? They give these guns and badges to represent.
So here's a question. I got a question for you. This is really important. Other than your sister, who are the people in your life? Are you involved in a church? Do you have good friends? Is there a Bible study that you're going to? Do you ever see any kind of professional?
I had just moved there when they started.
But I'm talking about now. And, are you getting any kind of help for anything? Anybody working with you on anything? No?
No, I just don't like the way that they got away with that.
Okay.
And
I hear you. I think the best thing that you could do, really, is to try to get some kind of really great help for yourself and support and get some good guidance on a day-to-day basis. Anything you're thinking there, Dr. Okamoto or Sherry?
It's always good to kind of go back to the basics and talk about healthy boundaries. And when you have a lot of issues with disagreements between neighbors about the boundaries, you sort of have to be careful at constructing appropriate boundaries and maybe even physical ones but are not intrusive or mm-hmm. encroaching. And that may be something that a counselor can help with, constructing something that's not intrusive but protective for you.
Yeah, and I think the big danger is isolation, that when we don't connect with others, we really don't know what to do, and we can, you know, make some really mistakes that could be avoided if we would just ask some folks, what do you think about me doing this? Doing things alone can really, really cause the problem to get worse.
And so, and I want to ask just a quick question. Is Mary, how young were you when you first started feeling more helpless and kind of overwhelmed?
Well, because I didn't live alone. It was my mother and my brother in the house also.
Okay.
And when I heard that about firebomb, I'm thinking, what do? I did nothing.
So
I just like froze.
You lived early on with just your mom and your brother.
No, it was my mom and my brother in this house from 1989.
So you,
born.
Right.
And it was just, you know, when I heard, I wasn't in there by myself or I would have just went ahead and did what I
no,
wanted to do.
I get it. But let me just,
like, what do I do?
Let me share a thought. Dr. Akimoto just brought up the word boundaries. So I'm imagining a younger person, right? This was 30 years ago, living with a mom and a brother. But in essence, there's no protector there. There's this sense of fear looming that somebody, even though they didn't, maybe early on have this, but all of a sudden there's somebody who's invading your space. Where I really see that, Mary, you were vulnerable is I would think it was, I was so proud of you. You called the police, right? But then you didn't take that next step to protect yourself, to write a story, to own what happened to you. And oftentimes with boundary missteps, right? And I'm not making you wrong and bad. I'm trying to empower you to look back at the story. And when we own our part to say, yeah, I got to go back and go, I didn't really make a report. And so when we don't protect ourselves, which is what boundaries are about, healthy boundaries are about protection and safety. When we don't protect ourselves, then we open ourselves up to somebody hurting us, retaliation. And so I just not only want to speak to you, but I want to speak to others that tend to find themselves more in this victim place and then end up angry and hurt because that perpetrator never really had justice. And I want to go back, rewind your story and say, hey, what can you do today to learn from that and fortify yourself to guard your heart going forward? To protect yourself with boundaries.
Yeah, really important. All right, I'm glad you called. So hold on, and we're going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that will be helpful, and maybe we can find a counselor that would connect you there. We would love for that. Let's go to Debbie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'll try to be as brief as possible. My son is 23. He's never been able to launch. He's had some learning disabilities, ADD, other issues, high anxiety issues, and he seems to start something, and he's going great. He's very smart, but he has some of these learning glitches he doesn't want to own. So then it kind of fizzes out. Then he'll get depressed and go into the cycle of living in his room. I know you talked about that at another show. Living in his room, 24/7 video games, whatever, YouTube videos, and then he gets motivated to do something else. He switches, goes to college. Okay, so now he's 23. He did a couple of semesters. He gets overwhelmed, and now he's quit. And so my husband and I are really at a loss. He's a strong-willed child, so for me, an ultimatum is really not on the table. Other than, you know, kicking him out, which I don't necessarily agree with. Not even sure if he could make it, and being strong-willed, you know, he's probably happy to go live under a bridge. So I don't know what to do. He's in this cycle right now, 3 weeks in his room, and I'm just overwhelmed after all these years of counseling and this and that. And
well, you're not alone.
I wondered if you had.
Everywhere we go, we hear. Yeah, everywhere we go, we hear of this problem. Dr. Okamoto, what do you think when you hear this?
Debbie, so I would want to know what kind of treatment was he getting, and did he get treatment for the anxiety and for the ADD?
He has medication. We did a DNA test. The psychiatrist did a DNA test. So a lot of the medications that he tried, you know, was fail. They ramp up, and then they're bad for him, and he's acting weird. Okay, so long story short, we did find he can take Zanzetti, and if he wants to, he hates to take it, even though he does. It does make him do things. He has some Xanax, low-dose Xanax, that he can take if he's having an anxiety attack or he can't leave his room, can't open the door or whatever. So he's been diagnosed with ADD. He's at one time a different psychiatrist thought he might be bipolar, but he's not bipolar. We've kind of limited that, you know. So he feels like mom and dad have the money, and there's no problem with mom and dad supporting him the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe he is a believer. He has a deep love for the Lord, but he'll go to a men's group or Bible study, and then he drops out. He's never
okay.
really, you know.
So
he
you're just looking. You're looking for what to do, right?
What do I do? Any? Yeah. I mean, I've been everywhere and done everything, so I'm just wondering if you have any insight.
Yeah.
I wonder. You want to go first, sir?
Does he have any friends? Anybody he's attached to, or is he on his own?
He has a couple lifelong friends that come in and out. They'll get he will let them in. They'll go out and work out, or go for a run, or a swim, or hang out, and he's very happy. And then something will happen, like a text, or something will come in, and he gets stuck. He's a little OCD. I think he gets stuck on it. He gets upset. He's not dealing with his feelings. He has a mentor. He's had psychologists. He has a psychiatrist. But he doesn't ever seem to be honest with these people about, this is my real problem.
Well,
How do I get over it?
If he does have a counselor and he has a psychiatrist, and there's always an issue of confidentiality from the doctors, but if he's not telling them what you see, then it might be worthwhile giving some of that information by a letter, because even though they can't talk to you, they may be able to read and take that in and evaluate that part of it. But
and that's happened. We mm-hmm. you know, we actually all communicate very well, and I understand the confidentiality. But fortunately, I have a doctor who's, you know, very honest with me, and he's given permission to talk to me. So there's that. So I mean, they do know the situation.
So I have a thought, and just my experience, and I'm so glad that we have a psychiatrist here, since I am not one. But you know what? My experience is Dr. Akimoto. When I see someone that has symptoms like Debbie's son, where it's more of the anxiety center, it's the OCD, it's that over-processing brain, that it's like we need to calm that down first before you can even address the ADD issues. Because that, if you give a stimulant, right, which is typically what happens to somebody who's who ADHD, right, it might be a Wellbutrin, right, would be depression and a bit of a stimulant, or a stimulant like Adderall, it will take that overfocused brain and ratchet it up. And so it makes them perseverate more. So it's almost like calming that down and then boosting. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and Debbie mentioned that another psychiatrist thought that he might have bipolar tendencies. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's high and low. It may mean that his mood is unstable. And so if you do have an unstable mood, which a lot of times when you have multiple issues that are coming up at the same time, including anxiety and ADHD, very often there's an unstable mood along with it that you have to stabilize first before the other medicines will work. That kind of a diagnosis won't show up on testing, but I think Debbie, you've been through a lot.
And he was on Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
And Wellbutrin was a good drug for him.
Well,
okay.
Wellbutrin and Lamictal, you know, mood stabilizers like that. But the problem with the Wellbutrin is it's expensive, and the insurance stopped covering it. And you know the situation with the generic brands are subpar. At least that was I was told, and it didn't work for him. So,
but
you know, you're talking about
compared to the price of him being there with you, dependent on you at age 42, Wellbutrin at whatever price is a bargain. If you can get him to take it consistently enough to where you actually see what the impact is. Now, I'll tell you, other parents
key, Doc,
in this other parents in this situation, because there are very limited resources, and we have, if we had the money, we would have a home. We'd say to you, send him to us, but we don't have that kind of money, but we know how to treat this. But here's the thing. Sometimes parents have worked with other parents to provide an alternate living situation where these guys have to be responsible. They have to work. They have to support themselves. But they're independent with like two or three other guys. They're independent in a home, and they're not living at your home. But they're working together, to three, four guys, to pay the rent, buy the groceries, and that's the first step toward independence. That's what you want to, you need a plan to help him find some level of functioning outside of the home to be independent. Getting that brain right really is that first huge major step. That's the way to go. And then you do whatever it takes to help find some kind of living arrangement that can work for him. Maybe a halfway, quarter house, something. But to stay at home and be dependent, that's the enemy right there.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. We're going to go right to the phones, get as many calls as we can, because we have a bunch of them piled up. We're going to go right here to Lydia, Ontario, Canada. How you doing, Lydia?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking
my call. How can we help you today?
I have a question.
Okay.
Steve, I called a year ago on a relationship question, and I asked, I said, me living with my partner, but we're not married, and that was compromising my faith. And you told me to get out of it. I told you how long. And I did get out of the house. But
good.
Now I'm on the outside. Thank you for that advice. How long do I stay in this relationship before I'm being proposed to? He says he wants to get married. I'm ready, but he says, I don't know if he's thinking logical, like he wants to make sure things are in place. But it's 6 years, and I just don't know how much more time he needs. Like, how long can I give him again?
Well, if you said he's just about to graduate, and then, or he's got this new job, or if there was some, but if it's just he's not ready after 6 years, he's not ready. And I think as sad as it is and difficult as it is, I think this may just be one huge dead end, and you're not going to know that until you say it's either now or never. Sherry, you are a female. What are you thinking when you hear a story like this?
So, first question, are you guys still having sex?
No.
Okay. And good for you, right? Because you've just said, I am holding on to my worth and value. But I got to say this, girl, 6 years is a very long time.
Yes, and that's for me, Sherry, because I'm human, and he's been very respectful of my decisions.
I get it.
But
I get it.
He's too comfortable with...
But it's not about respect. So there's this Hebrew cultural thing, and it's called a bride price, where somebody like in Israel would have somebody that they wanted to marry, and they would have to give this bride price, and it might be a bunch of camels, right? It might be money or jewels. It might be something that they have to give to the family in order to secure their intention of being with that daughter. And when I listen to this situation, Lydia, my heart breaks. You know why? Because he's not treating you as with the bride price. He's not really securing your heart. There's something that's in the way.
I feel like he's... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Like, he helps take care of my mom with me and my family and stuff. He shows me love. He says, you know, I believe he loves me. I just don't know. He says, I want this, but I don't want to feel rushed. And I'm like, rushed after 6 years.
Okay. So let me give you, let me go, do, 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 do. You know what that means? He's saying, I'm scared out of my mind. And
okay.
He's not saying, I don't want to be rushed. It's been 6 years. Let's get honest.
Yeah.
What he's saying, I'm scared out of my mind to make a commitment. So you are with a man who is scared out of his mind to make a commitment to you. I love the fact that he's caring for your mom, and but it's kind of brotherly love. What you're asking for is, I want you to be with me. And I think he needs to really do some work and look at what he's so afraid of. And you need to look at what it is about you that is waiting. You're the lady in waiting, right?
That's right.
And you might even become a cat lady if you wait another 10 years, right? You don't need to waste all that time, but just rushing.
So how can I help? How can I help him?
You draw a line in the sand. You help you. You draw a line in the sand, and you say, okay, I've taken one step to move out of the house.
Yes.
This next step I'm going to be taking is you need to get into weekly therapy to begin to address your fear. Because, honey, it's not about the fact that you don't want to be rushed. It's been 6 years. You need to look at your fear. That's what I would say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then see what he does with it.
Do I give him an ultimatum? Or is that to...
Well, the ultimatum is, let's get some help over this fear. Okay. It's obvious I love you. It's obvious there's nobody in this world better for you. So let's deal with what it is that's preventing us from going forward. So the ultimatum is, it's time for you to show up on Tuesday at that appointment and get the help you need. If he says, I'm not willing to get help to deal with the fear, you don't have to give an ultimatum, because he's not willing to do the work to win your heart and be with you. So that's your indication. Willingness to get help before the marriage is a really good indication that he's willing to get help after the marriage, and vice versa. Don't marry someone who's not willing to do whatever it takes to get the help that's needed for whatever problem presents. Dr. Okamoto, any comment here before we go to this break?
Same along with that. I've seen a lot of couples in therapy for that reason, and it may take a while, but there's progress to be made if he's committed and if he wants to be with you.
That's right.
I had a guy that came that was as scared as him, and I did some work with him, some trauma work, and then we brought his girlfriend in, they did some couples work, and you know what? She got a ring. Now, it took them about a year and a half to go through and face their fear, but they're married now, and so you know, not rushing is not helping.
Yeah. So, there's no rushing concept here. It's action, no action. That's all that we're dealing with here. Is there action or not? It's time. He won your heart with action.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Tom in Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Tom, welcome to New Life. How can we help you today, buddy?
Hey there. Hey, listen, I'm a bit of a slow learner. After several decades, I've finally figured out I've been dealing with anxiety and depression for years.
Okay.
Finally, it's gotten to the point where it's just like it's almost feels like it's consuming me. Okay. So I saw a professional. He said, I'm dealing with PTSD, and I just started Prozac, which is kind of giving me a rough time. But from what I hear, the first few weeks are kind of rough anyway. On Xanax. But gosh, the Xanax barely touches the anxiety. So I was just wondering if there's any other ways you guys use in thought processes or anything to help get around that anxiety.
Okay. Dr. Okamoto, what do you think?
Yeah, just a little background, Tom. How long have you been dealing with this?
Well, looking back, probably all my life. I dealt with experienced a lot of abuse at a very, very young age.
Yikes.
And, I was pretty good at just putting it, in the background for a long time, but it's finally caught up with me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're getting treatment and you kind of connected with, okay, there is treatment, but it's the next steps are a process because even though you may have the right diagnosis, there's a lot of process to getting the right treatment. And sometimes if it's not working well, let your doctors know because side effects are not good and you want to make sure it's doing what it should be doing and going the right direction. And if it's not doing that, there's a lot of other things to do to adjust it and make it right.
No shame in being prescribed something that doesn't work, right?
No, and that's kind of like anybody who has medical treatment for a heart problem or a blood pressure problem, cholesterol, sometimes the medicines are not perfect, and we do the best we can. But the goal is to have it be very comfortable, but to do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So the doses need to be right, the medicine needs to be right, and the diagnosis needs to be right. So let your doctor know all of the things you're not particularly comfortable with, because there's a lot of process to it, and the goal is remission, being back to a normal self. So,
yeah, okay. From what they say, the first couple weeks are kind of different in that it's just readjusting your biochemistry, and you know, it's a normal thing. Apparently,
yeah, it shouldn't be real uncomfortable. It might be noticeable, but it shouldn't be real uncomfortable. It should be okay, and it's getting better.
And also, as far as like re-triggering like a PTSD, is there any other than medication and talk therapy? I know several people on this program have talked about EMDR.
Sure.
Is that effective like in this type of situation as well?
You just kind of read my mind, Tom.
you want to get a trauma specialist. Absolutely.
You know,
no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah, so many folks have been just like you, where they've done a ton of talk therapy, but with EMDR, it actually not only gets your thoughtful, talkative brain, it opens up your heart and gets into that. Because I'm sitting here going, when's the last time he's cried over what's happened to him? And how much does he like to feel? Or not. Mm, yeah. And so all that pain can be kind of held and suspended in space and time, and it doesn't heal. In fact, I'm kind of grateful it's just caught up with you, because I think going deeper into your work with an expert is the way to go. And okay. That's my thought.
Yeah, so let me send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. It's written for family folks, but it's going to help you understand it better. And I'm telling you, you're on the right track. You're on to the next level, and I think the next level of relief and help is going to be there for you. Listen, if you're struggling with anxiety, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't just say, this is the way I have to be. Do it. Go. Get the help. Go to the next level. Please. That's what we want for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right. Let's talk with Jenny, Alexandria, Virginia. Jenny, how can
Hello.
We help you today? Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm calling because I called you all last year because I've been married to a guy since the 80s who has a sexual addiction problem, and he's not admitting it, being that he there's a lot of infidelity in the marriage, and he admitted some of them he didn't, and he made a Freudian slip and admitted to one, and when I asked him about it like a couple of weeks later, he pretended as if he didn't know what I was talking about. So he's back into this bad habit again, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, is it time to really, like, walk away from the marriage? Because I mentioned to him every man's battle when it came to the area, when it came to Washington, D.C., in October, I believe, last year. And he mentioned that, oh, I'm thinking about attending it. I'll think about it. So when I asked the second time about, okay, so are you going to go to every man's battle? I'm not going to that. I don't need that. I'm not doing anything, you know? Yeah. And
okay, so Sherry, you are a specialist. Sherry is a specialist in dealing with this issue with a man who is not willing to get help, and I think you're going to get some help, and I'm going to send you her book as soon as she finishes. But Sherry, what is the best thing she can do here?
Yes.
This is horrible.
So Jenny, thanks for sharing. When he said to you, "I'm not doing anything," what would you call that?
Lying.
So my question to you, and you guys have been married how many years?
Since 1989.
Okay, so we're coming up on three decades.
Yes.
Okay, dear. What has kept you in a relationship with somebody where there's multiple infidelities and somebody who's deceiving you and continuing to blatantly lie to you? What is going on in your world?
What happened was that with me is that I loved the person and felt that it was codependency. I felt that I couldn't be without them, but I don't have that same thought process now.
Okay, so you spent a long time, and it sounds like you went and got some help, right? Found this word that fit for you, but this idea of you rescuing him is starting to dissipate. So are you saying now you're ready to leave? Is that what you're telling all of us?
I'm telling you that I said to him that, well, I didn't say to, no, let me rephrase it. I said to him that only the Lord can change you. In order for God to change you, you need to admit that you have a problem.
Okay,
so his words to me are,
you know what you just did? You know what you just did, Jenny? You just went right back into fixing. Now you spiritualize your fixing.
Yeah, I love it.
I love your laughter. Because you know what? We see ourselves in it. So you're still trying to fix somebody who doesn't want to heal. And so the problem comes back to you. It's his problem. What he's doing is absolutely wrong. And it breaks my heart. I've been on the other side of this. I've been exactly where you're sitting. Different person. But you've got to really make some choices for yourself, because staying in this situation opens you up to risk for STDs. It opens you up for it's enabling wrongdoing. It's enabling him. He has given you his answer. And the scariest thing you're going to have to do is look inside you and ask yourself, why am I staying? What is my denial? What am I not wanting to look at? What am I afraid of? Being on my own? Having to start over with somebody else? And so I talk about those and many, many other things in my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, because we get caught up in trying to fix something and someone who doesn't want to be fixed. Dr. Akimoto, what are your thoughts?
No, it's totally, 30 years is a long time of your life to feel like this is okay. So hopefully you're on a new path, and that's the next step, is how do you go about setting the limits and taking care of you?
Well, it seems to me that you are finally ready for him to have a problem. Because as long as you accept his lies and do nothing, then it's always just your problem. But what you're saying is, I think it's time that this become his problem. And the enabling of this evil that's been in your home against you, Jesus was very specific. Let's don't divorce. Well, hey, unless somebody has been unfaithful to you. Now, I think your greatest hope of being with this man is you saying it's over. But you have to wait and see what his reaction is going to be.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 15th to the 17th.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself in our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and let's talk with Cindy here, Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Cindy. Listens on the internet. Glad she does. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, how can we help?
As with most things, you know, things are pretty complex, but my main issue that I'm calling about is my husband has severe mood swings.
Okay.
And this has been going on for quite some time, and I used to just, you know, kind of ignore them, and we would try to discuss them, but never any resolution. But, you know, he's either the most loving, kind, you know, husband in the world, or he is very negative, has a look on his face,
What kind of help have you gotten?
Not talking at all.
What kind of help have you sought for this, either you or him?
We have gone to a marriage counselor, and it would help for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we're attending a love and respect class at our church.
Okay.
I've gone to his medical doctor with him and mentioned the mood swings, but the medical doctor wanted to address what was going on medically, but he told my husband not to ignore the thought of possible depression. He does have a brother that is on disability for depression.
Okay,
but
so
like
what's the question for us?
How can I, this roller coaster ride of he loves me, he doesn't love me. And, you know, it just really, I'm having a really hard time dealing with it.
Yeah.
So then the times when he's in a good mood and kind and loving, when he says nice things, my brain's saying, well, I don't believe you. You know, because a lot of the times his behavior doesn't
and
exhibit
so
that.
The question for us is what now?
What can I do to deal with these mood swings? I mean, how can I take care of me with the mood swings, you know, going on as they are?
Okay. Dr. Okamoto, when you hear this, what do you want to suggest?
Yes, Cindy, it's like you're very tuned into him. He's not really tuned into the process at all, and you're trying to get help and you're not getting anywhere, and it's a pretty complex process. Like you said, this is kind of invades everything about your relationship because it's a different person any day. So
it's like our life is on hold when he's in a negative mood.
Yeah.
And so we never really make progress in anything.
Yeah, because he's not there all the time. So you need to get educated about what this might be, and if he can come in to get an evaluation by a health professional, like a psychiatrist who will know about moods, is this a depression that's kind of barely going back and forth from normal to not normal, or is this something that's more unstable, like more of a bipolar-ish kind of an unstable mood? Because it can be that significant in terms of changing your life. If the mood is switching, you're dealing with a different person in every mood. So are resources like NAMI. There are resources like Depressive Bipolar Support Alliance that you can just learn about what you might be seeing. But getting him to go and get evaluated would be a very helpful thing for the big process.
The way you deal with his mood swings the best is get him to get treatment for his mood swings so there aren't any mood swings. And here's what I hear. A man has tried everything in trying harder, but he hasn't tried different yet. And now it's time to try different. And the right diagnosis, the right treatment, now we're not swinging anymore. We're stabilizing. And you can experience, and I think he really does love you. He just can't try hard enough. Sherry, any comment here before we move on?
Well, a quick question is, so what would he do if you weren't there to make his meals and make the bed and, you know, make him eggs in the morning or whatever?
I'll tell you that because my father just passed away. So during that time, he was in hospice care. And I was providing care for my dad.
Right.
So I might only come home once a week. During that time, he may or may not speak to me when I'm at home. But he says he lost 15 pounds during that time.
Perfect. You know why he lost 15 pounds? Because he was nervous of losing you. That's why. That you may have to spend a little bit of time away. Take a temporary, I'm not saying divorce, but you might need to. If he's unwilling to do what Dr. Akimoto and Steve has said, you might have to go take a short-term separation in order to say, I'm willing to come home after you start taking medications for your brain.
And when I come home, I expect that you will talk with me. That's not a mood swing. That's cruelty is what that is. And so even in a bad mood, you have to address the person, and I don't want you to be treated that way. And hold on, we're going to try to get some help for you. I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression, because, man, he needs additional help. Dr. Akimoto, anything else on any person living with someone who is resistant to getting the help, and they resort to cruel behavior? Any thoughts on that?
Oh, and I can see how easy it is to want to stay and try to help, because you can see that the person is suffering and it's not who you know them to be. But on the other hand, it's a behavior and it's not acceptable, and you need to protect yourself. So limits and setting structure to protect yourself is very important, but also getting that person to treatment is part of the restoration that can happen. You don't want to live 20, 30 years with somebody who's in this kind of a state when there's good treatments available these days.
So true. And nothing changes without change, which is kind of a simple but, you know, powerful thought. Steve, I know I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but could we send her also your book, Understanding and Loving with Bipolar Disorder? The reason
Absolutely.
For that is
yeah.
she doesn't
yeah,
really
good.
Know what it is, and I think having
right.
both of your resources will help her kind of decide, you know, maybe
yeah.
what she
we'll
thinks she needs to do.
Double dog and gift there, and really glad that you called, and I hope that those are going to be helpful. Anybody else, there are 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness series on Understanding and Loving a Person Who, and they really do help you have the best life possible when it has been so very difficult for you. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE for that. Also, don't forget Club New Life. Wouldn't it be great? Yes, if you helped us, and this month start right now, call us, join Club New Life. We'll send you these 4 great videos by Mylon K. Yurkovich. Just the video on 12 questions that'll change every relationship, worth the whole thing. But we give you access to a video library. I just did the 300th video, and nobody gets that unless they're a member of Club New Life. I need some folks to call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want to be part of the New Life Giving Family. I want to be part of Club New Life. And there are many more benefits than just the video library, discounts and things like that. Plus, you're helping do one thing, transformation. We started this ministry over 30 years ago to transform lives. And oh my goodness, what a joy it is to see it happen even today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to help us. A gift of any amount, we'll send you this video that Dave Stoop and I did on change. We hate change, but hey, it doesn't have to be so painful. We'll help you with that, but you have to call us. Dr. Akimoto, thank you so much for being here. Your wisdom, your heart, your spirit. Dr. Sherry Keffer, thanks for your heart and your wisdom and your spirit, too.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah. And thanks to all of you who listen, watch, pray, and support us. We love you. You have a great day and a new life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.